Good. I missed that embarrassing part.
Oh.
Anybody? Anybody feel like cracking the whip and telling us all what we need to be doing next?
Well, I think we just have to kind of confirm or firm up or, settle on the ideas that we've had for presenting what we've been up to in the exhibition. And the date, we have to have everything ready for Ingrid and Randy for February 22nd, whether that means, sending real things through the mail or digitally, digital files. And the other thing is, I think that we should make sure that the repository, the Google Drive, is as replete with our materials, our different studies and things that people have worked on over the next little while, because I'm not sure, but I think probably Ingrid and Randy will be referring to those things as well, going into them and looking at them. So that's where I think we're at. At our last meeting, we talked about diagrams some more, and we talked about, I can't remember what else, but basically sort of talking about what the possibilities were for working further with the diagrams and how we might present the kind of combined efforts. Since that time, I put together, just following that meeting, I put together some images and words and things just based on my own studies, and I put them in a PowerPoint and I put them in the Google Drive, but I also have them on my laptop here. If anyone wants me to go through them, I can. And I know, Francisco, you've produced at least a couple more diagrams. One that you shared very recently, which was very interesting. And Jess, you've been working on things pretty continuously, and we've gotten lots of material from you.
None of it's presentable. Quick question: Are we? I mean, obviously, it's going to be a little clumsy to have physical objects, unless we want to go to some trouble, right?
I think we could have objects, as in prints of things, prints of digital material. And I don't know. I think if there's a compelling reason to have a three-dimensional object, then I don't see why not.
Okay. Well, the only thing that I have any momentum with is that old thing of mine, MuSR in this paper. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And for that, I'd really like to actually send over one of the originals. I mean, because otherwise it's a lie.
Yeah.
That was inspired by the whole idea of repetition being essential, repetition being an invisible force in science. It says, because if you can't reproduce it, then it doesn't count, right? And yeah. There's a piece of work that's absolutely for sure rigorously correct and real, but cannot be reproduced by its very nature. I would say I took tremendous pleasure in doing that to try to illustrate that that's not necessarily a great idea. But
yeah,
there is an essence, it is an essential invisible force in science. And so that was the whole idea of that, was to sort of raise that issue and maybe attach it, because it's two-sided. So it has to sort of be hanging in a frame or something like that, sort of dangling somehow.
Yeah.
And I put a little essay to go with it. And that's the only thing that I have that I think I would feel good about actually presenting.
Yeah.
I actually had a chance to go for a walk with Randy on, what was it, Wednesday? And I mentioned our idea of compiling a lot of our sort of field work into a publication. And, and I said, I thought at some point before Omicron that I maybe would go into the space and look for somewhere where I could do some kind of wall intervention that could be really cheap, but who knows? And one thing that Randy did indicate is that we could perhaps ask her and Ingrid if that they might be able to find some other money that's publication specific if we wanted to sort of do something for the publication and then maybe have a bit of like printing and mailing money for other things. Or, you know, I think if I were to do something, something else, it would be like as much on the cheap as possible. But since I am here until the 19th, I thought, oh, maybe there's something in there around being able to leave a trace, mm-hmm. and having that go up that could speak to what we've been mm-hmm. talking about. So just to say, and Randy seemed quite sort of open to whatever, however we might want to use the space that could be, you know, more performative, or that could be spatial, or that could be wall based. So that was kind of exciting and encouraging. And I haven't really been inside the new campus. Mm-hmm. So I might just go for it. And I think there's actually an excellent Corey Weingarten show there until at some point. So I'm gonna go. And then if I have an idea, I might just find the cheapest way of pitching it.
Okay. Yeah. And if you think it would be helpful for us, you know, send some phone photos or a little video or something like that, a little walk through the space.
Maybe what I can do is, I would actually love to take, if there's one thing I love to take is like pictures of empty spaces. So I can certainly, even based on what we talk about today, just be people's eyes.
Okay, great.
Who can't come.
One thing that could be interesting, if there are partitions or if there are portable walls that can be installed, and if we have something like Jess's two-sided document, that could be reproduced, you know, larger. I assume it's...
No, it can't be reproduced.
What's that?
It can't be reproduced.
Oh, okay. So we couldn't even copy it and put one side on one side of the wall. It has to be the thing. Okay.
I could get two copies, but that's sort of suspicious.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I have two, right?
Wonderful. I have a bit of a stupid question for Jamie. Is there such a thing as a concourse gallery anymore? Is that a concept, or is it just the Charles H. Scott? Like, what's the?
No, there's an exhibition commons.
Cool.
So that's where the previous
that's nice.
Low exhibitions have been, and it's just like the main corridor of the building. So it's like the concourse just kind of made narrower and longer.
Oh.
But it's yeah. I think there's lots of opportunities to display in various ways. And it's got folding walls. I don't know if it has temporary walls, but it has folding walls to transform the space. But yeah, it's called the Exhibition Commons.
Are the walls opaque on either side, or is it a glass fronted space, or
it's no. opaque? It's all white walls.
Okay.
Yeah, it's real nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, the photos I've seen of previous installations look really nice, like high ceilings, and it looks very open. Seems very open.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too difficult. I mean, we could do a publication and a wall presentation. I mean, vinyl is pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's pretty cheap, but it's easy enough.
Yeah.
Or we could just do a publication, or, I mean, I think there's a lot of options for different iterations.
Yeah. I think it would be really nice to have some of the texts and some of the diagram-based work mm-hmm. Reproduced as vector files for vinyl,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even larger than the standard 8.5 by 11 format.
When you say vector files, you mean what format?
Illustrator.
Illustrator, yeah, and that's what the you know what, we can hire a design student to do that stuff.
Okay.
But it's the program that to cut vinyl for signage. It's what they use. So
what format can they be converted from?
I think
PowerPoint.
You can import just about any kind of image. The resolution varies greatly. But for example, my 8.5 by 11 digital drawings can be blown up to at 3 by 2 meter, fairly decent. Yeah, it's
I don't need that.
It's got range.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. In the past, I think I've had vector file vinyl stuff done from, you know, Word documents and PDFs.
JPEGs.
JPEGs, yeah. Yeah.
JPEGs aren't the best resolution, generally speaking.
No.
What the vectorization does is it takes the pixels and it sort of translates them as these lines that remain.
I understand what vector graphics is, but there's a whole bunch of formats that I have access to, but none of them have anything to do with expensive software.
Yeah,
they're all open source.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty easy conversion.
Yeah, and I do think that some of the money that we have collectively allocated to us, we can use to hire, you know, a senior design student. Mm-hmm. And turn the material over to them and have them work magic on it.
Yeah.
So I think that's the way to go.
Well, I have a bunch of written stuff, but none of it's presentable. None of it has any kind of visual impact. It's all just text and essays and poetry and junk like that. So I don't know how.
Well, you were doing that interesting stuff where with moving words in and out of text and using color to, you know, decodify what your changes were. I thought that was visually pretty interesting stuff. I'm also, you know, interested in having texts be part of the, you know, compendium of materials that we assemble. So an essay or a paper, I think that belongs there.
Mm-hmm. And you build your own quantum theory. Like that was, there's some really...
That was fun.
Like that's a show. Like that, yeah. Going through it right now, that's a solo show.
You just got your first solo show. Congratulations.
Okay, Rebecca will be impressed. Well, I sort of feel like I have to rely on you guys to make the aesthetic choices and the formula that put things together, because I have no concept of what that would be like.
Well, I think one of the things that we need to figure out is if we're taking a kind of completionist pose for our end product, or we're looking to narrow it down to a certain collection, right? Because we could do the scores that we did as a kind of experimental method and include those, and maybe include the manifestations of them. Mm-hmm. Or we can just think of that as a step towards our subsequent work.
Mm-hmm.
We could put all of our diagrams in, or we could put in some of our diagrams. I've been working on some diagrams, but
why don't we take each of the scores, the score authors, choose the best of what they thought was the best example of the manifestation of the score. You know, you're allowed to do your own, right?
Mm-hmm.
And put those together. So that rather than, well, I don't know. I mean, which do you think? I mean, we could have for each of the scores, we could have four different, you know, executions. But at least one of the executions, I'm positive, is going to be really crappy because I didn't like any of mine.
I would just dispel all of those thoughts of judging your work. It just isn't interesting in terms of the ideas, because all of the ideas and the processes are so rich. I think we should just forget about, you know, what makes, you know, good art or better art or whatever. And yeah, I like the idea of having like each score followed by the executions of them. I think that would be really interesting to see all of the different and hear all of the different approaches.
If we wanted to sort of not repeat things between whatever might exist in the gallery as an installation and whatever might exist as a publication, we could decide a publication of diagrams and an installation of scores, or a publication of scores and an installation of diagrams. And I think actually either version of that would be really interesting, you know, like to have each of us produce, because probably with $300, we can do one decently sized vinyl, right? Mm-hmm. So each of us chooses one diagram and it's almost like Northwest, Southeast, you know? That would have, I don't know, that might be too sort of completionist, you know, because because there's four of us, you know, but it could or could not be a thing. Or, you know, we put the scores and iterations. I agree with Barbara. I think every variation is valid, including this one, that one, and the other one. And then we find ways of installing the scores and the iterations, though I think given that three of us won't be in the city at the time, sending and producing one diagram for the show and then compiling all this other sort of more unwieldy material into a publication might be logistically the more doable thing in a month.
Yeah.
Month.
And a half-ish.
A week. I mean, we can also redo your score responses, you know, having learned from the process the first time.
You can iterate them and reiterate them. I didn't do one of mine, so I should do that.
Hmm. And mine of mine was a recording.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I mean, one of the questions, I had two questions. One was that I think it might be as a subsequent score to think about the ways in which we work. Like I had this idea that if, like the way Francisco, you talked about creating abstract images through Photoshop manipulation. I think that might be an interesting score for people to follow, like take an image and then take this tool and select this and pull it in a certain direction or something, you know, as a way to create an abstraction. And maybe we could all think about ways that we work where we productively and generatively create abstractions. Mm-hmm. And I think we also might need to think about, like I was reading Ingrid's response to the work, and she's like, I don't quite get its relation to invisible forces,
mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it's there. I just, I haven't had it explained yet. And I was like, I'm not sure we have a necessarily articulated relationship between abstraction and invisible forces. Like I think we can think about it and we can talk about it, but I don't think it's as direct as perhaps Randy and Ingrid might want it to be, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter necessarily what they want. It just might be mm-hmm. good for us within the exhibition and the project to have a more, like to have a statement around abstraction and invisible forces.
Mm-hmm.
Could we each write like a very short foreword sort of reflecting on the process and sort of giving a way to almost read the scores? That could be really fun.
Because they're there, right?
A forward and forward backward.
So we do it for our own scores or for each other's scores?
Or even from just in general, from our own perspective of the process around this question of scoring an abstract, you know, because for example, I would have like for yours, Jess, the grammar quantum field theory, like I could certainly like that resonates for me, you know. So I would probably, my foreword would probably have less to do with my own score and more with my responses to what you've offered.
Okay. But
each person could take it in a different direction.
Yeah. Because I was thinking about the difference between immeasurable forces and invisible forces, right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, and it's an interesting phrase for artists and scientists to kind of meet on. because gravity is a measurable force, but it's invisible, right? But the links, the kind of maybe the impulse to abstract, or the connection, like the syntactical connection between like some of Jess's experiences or experiments, are invisible and kind of immeasurable, right? Like, and so that was this kind of difference between, there are these things that are mysterious and acculturated versus physical and like theorized, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably not the right, but there's a difference between like these physical forces that are invisible and these cultural forces that are also invisible.
Yeah. It reminds me that we talked at different points about language and about how limiting the language and terminology with, you know, in science, you talked about that, Jess, but also, you know, for art and just in common use, how limiting language is. And I've been thinking about that. And I've also really stuck on this fact or this idea that diagrams are all discernible lines, like they're all crisp lines. And why aren't they blurs? And what else was I connecting that to? Oh yeah, I was thinking about you know, the first seminar, I guess, and Jess, you talking about things that are just too weird to be visible or to be known, right? And maybe things that are blurred, that don't have sharp edges or language that is ambiguous, maybe those are the kinds of things that we're dealing with sometimes.
I think that's the invisible force of poetry too. And I thought about this when, in your diagrams, kind of at the end of the document you sent, Barbara, with the circles that were blurred, that were smudged, because I was thinking about what the invisible force of the eye is, you know, like in a diagram or in a any representation. We always talk about this in critique about where the eye goes, right? And thinking about why the eye goes there. And you can do these formalist analyses of images, but it's also one of these things that's linked between the biology of light and reflecting onto the eye and then processing it, but also a cultured way of looking, right? So that you're like, well, we're used to finding things in these forms. Mm-hmm. So I think that was what you were saying about why are diagrams crisp and why can't they be blurred? I think a blurry diagram is a really exciting idea. Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is, you know, the abstraction itself is an invisible force in the sense that it allows us to communicate about experience. You know, experiences are direct, right? You know, you have the experience. If you want to tell somebody about it, you have to be able to make it up words to abstract it, right? I mean, I caught a fish, right? The experience, the other person, if the other person has never caught a fish, doesn't mean anything to them really. But you can make these resonances between two different people's experience by abstracting them into words. So without that abstraction, you can't communicate. That's what communication is, I guess. It's sharing experiences.
But we don't all know the same thing.
Aurora, are you still there?
Different things.
You're sort of breaking up, Barbara.
I just said that we all have our own ideas about what a fish is. We bring our own responses to that abstract language-based idea of a fish. I think that my internet, it keeps giving me a message saying it's unstable, and it's because there's a big storm descending on Nova Scotia right now. So,
yeah, we're thinking. Sorry, Jeff.
No, you were freezing up a minute ago. But don't worry about it.
I think also going back to that first meeting that we had, I think Francisco talked about desire as being an individual force, right? And so this is another thing that might link to abstraction as an invisible force in order to communicate, right? So what is this what is this impulse or desire to express something to another thinking subject in order to have it reflected back to you, and then and also to receive their experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think this is kind of like the mise en abyme of invisible and of force, right? Like we get down to this, it's everything might be a problem, and maybe we need to get down to it being everything in order to find our nuance or our specificities.
Well, and even if we each propose a kind of notion in that sort of short, because I'm wary of asking people to do writing. I've just done so much writing that I'm like, but you know, yeah, even just based on this conversation and what we've been talking about, and that initial notion of desire and queer desire, maybe there isn't a desire that isn't queer. Who knows? I wouldn't know. You know, thinking about diagramming the visible and the invisible and language, that, you know, the idea that gendering is our primary instrument for abstraction, right? That in most languages that I can think of, or that people who speak English, that specifically Beatrice Spivak, talking about English, would know that gender is the very first place that language goes in order to create a distinction. You know, so the subject from the object, basically. And how that in some ways, that's part of what a diagram attempts to do, in the sense that it attempts to separate things so you can understand, you know, well, sculpture is not the landscape and not the architecture, right? Or the verb is not the subject and not the object. I don't know. I feel like I could probably, with a month and a week to go, like I could probably gather about like 500 words around that I could offer. And it could be interesting to see what each of us sort of taking all these conversations as a part of the point of departure might offer, and how that might illuminate or not. I mean, I'm also into it not illuminating it, this what the scores have done.
Yeah, and to have an expanded form of writing too, like an experimental form of writing, if a more straightforward paragraphed analysis isn't what people feel like doing. We can rethink our notion of a foreword.
If we had infinite amount of time, it'd really be fun to say, okay, here's the score, and here's my first attempt, here's my second attempt, here's my third attempt, and here's where I gave up, here's why I gave up. And, you know, or something like that, just to see how the attempts evolved. But that's too, that's pretty long-winded.
Well, I mean, we could also think about this as another score, right? Like a collectively produced score.
Yeah.
To write or theorize invisible forces. It's not a great score, but it's a task, I guess. What the difference is.
The difference is that it's, what's the word that you used? It's conclusive or completist or something. Uh-huh. It doesn't just go out into the words.
It's hard thinking in this year.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's a real challenge.
So we could think of it as a score for presenting what we've been doing in a gallery space. That's not the same as the work, right? It's not the same as what we've actually been doing. It's about how to make it presentable, or how to communicate it in a very specific kind of context of the gallery space.
It could connect the diagrams with this course, if I'm understanding you correctly, Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
That could be cool too.
We have to have our things kind of in their hands by the 22nd. Does that mean that everything has to be kind of ready to go into the space at that time? Are they going to do any, I mean, I guess they're going to decide where things go, or?
I'm not sure.
I thought it meant ready to hang, but.
That was my impulse or understanding too.
Well, to whom, I was thinking about getting some plexiglass and sort of double framing my this paper thing and hanging it from a string or something like that, and then sending it in. Who do I send it to?
I think you put it, like physically sending it in?
Yeah.
Just, I think, attention, Scotty or Ingrid or Randy at Emily Carr.
I should do that pretty quick then.
Barbara's left us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Storm. Well, we could declare this complete if you guys want to escape.
I think we can wait for Barbara to come back.
Yeah. The one question I had was if we were thinking of publication, of some kind of publication, what format? Because even just starting to think about how to format things to bring them together.
Yeah, the DOC, Digital Output Center at Emily Carr is pretty versatile. And I think making like a folded folio might be easier than a bound, or like a perfect bound, like sequential book. So it would just be a series of forewords plus a series of scores plus a series of iterations. And I like the idea how the iterations would get mixed up potentially. Yeah.
Here's something I hadn't thought about that might make our life easier. So could we send stuff to be printed? Of course, it's a freaking art school. Like, do they have the capacity? OCAD wouldn't be able to do it, which is why I don't think of it. Like, they don't, it's, they're not printing things for shows,
right,
at the school. But could we, for example, if we went with a sort of vinyl of a diagram each and this folio, could we send it to them and then just have Randy and Ingrid sort of use our budget to sort of pay whatever's due there and have it all done in-house?
Everything except the vinyl.
Okay.
And I could do it. I mean, I can go to the Digital Output Center and meet with Carlos and Eduardo, who are fantastic. And as long as we have a design, I think it's a pretty simple. I've printed with them before a few things, so it wouldn't be a challenge, I think. But the vinyl, we'd have to go. We'd figure out where the gallery gets their vinyl cut, and then just send it to them.
So surely Randy and Ingrid have like done this, like. Three more times.
Yeah.
I don't have an idea what this vinyl is. I mean, I can't visualize it. I keep thinking in terms of, you know, plastic.
Yeah.
I'm saying what does it look like? I mean, what is it? Is it carved, or is it, when you say vinyl cut?
I can show you some vinyls. They're not.
Jess, did you ever go to any of Rebecca's exhibitions?
Yeah.
You know where her name is either on the door or on the wall?
Oh, that stuff.
That's vinyl, yeah.
It looks like Bakelite.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then so you can get it cut into kind of thin lines, and then they just stick it on the wall, and you don't have to be a sign painter. So the de-skilling of easy wall decoration. Welcome back.
Thank you, Barbara.
Not too much happened in your absence, I'll say.
We were just thinking about the practicalities of how we might actually get this printed. You know, so Jamie was saying that there's a digital output center that he could kindly sort of take an already formatted folio type thing with all with the scores and the iterations. And then what we would have to find if we decided to do some kind of diagram for the walls, then we'd have to find like a place to do the vinyl. But we were thinking, surely Randy and Ingrid have like vinyled this thing 20 times and can find somewhere that might even do us as a bundle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Jess was thinking of adding like a plexiglass version of his double-sided text,
mm-hmm.
which would hang from, I imagine, two airline wires or airplane wires.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just one.
So
you can turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, against the wall, or are you thinking like?
I was thinking about having it just in front of the wall. If there's an easy way to do that, hang it from the ceiling so that it's just in front of the wall, so it's sort of turning in the wind and people can.
Yeah, I think that's nice. I think generally people resist touching things, like to turn it around,
yeah.
Which is why I thought like having it not against the wall, but perpendicular to the wall would allow them to walk around it. But I think I like the idea of it hanging and twisting.
Right? Yeah.
It would just have to be a little ways from the wall.
Yeah, so just, it only has to be half its width away from the wall.
Yeah.
So it's probably not a hazard, I think, that somebody may object.
No, there's things hanging in that exhibition commons all over the place. So it would be fine. I don't know if you could encase it in resin. You know, which might be, I know you could sandwich it between plexiglass and that'd be fine, but.
Yeah, I was thinking about having it,
laminated?
Laminated, but then it's no longer, you know, this paper. I really like to keep it intact in a frame. I know this is kind of silly. I mean, I don't know whether anybody got any. Did you feel that there was any sort of an invisible force message from that idea? I'd have to put a little essay underneath it explaining what the point is. It should be easy. I'll just do it. I'll just do it and send it in.
Sounds good.
That's often the one advantage of being an artist in life. That sometimes you can just say, I'm just going to do that.
Yeah.
And then you understand it later.
But yeah, I'm just trying to think about what the installation looks like with vinyl cut diagrams, but then also that sheet as an installation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like hanging, would it be off to the side? Would it fit in with the vinyl? That might be a question for installation.
And that's something I can even look out for when I go. Since the sky doesn't seem to be falling today, there's a peak of sun. I might actually after my noon meeting, I might. Jamie, can you still just walk into the campus, or is it like an American, like fortified?
I think the campus was closed yesterday because of the snow, but I imagine it's open today and you can still walk in.
Okay. Because yeah. I really do want to go see this Cornelia Weingarten show. So yeah. what I can do is if I do that and then I'm sort of taking photos for reconnaissance for us. Then I've got a mission and I can justify the trek from New West.
Actually, before you go, just I'd say call reception.
Okay.
Because at times there has been card access only.
Okay.
But I think they opened it up, but I don't know if, because the semester got pushed back. I don't know if it's next week that it goes fully open or not. But I think for the trek, I'd say it's worth a call to reception.
Perfect. Thank you. Good. So I can take on doing some sort of reconnaissance and sending images if that helps us just imagine the installation. And my sense from the brief sort of touching on it with Randy, is that they're pretty open to however we might want to spatialize it. So it doesn't even have to look too sort of, you know, it could be in odd places, and that could be cool too. So
I wonder if they're gonna, I mean, in all the previous ones, they've had each team has had a space, right? I wonder if that's even appropriate for this iteration. I mean, maybe they should just take everything they get and scatter it around at random.
That's the sense I got from the last big seminar meeting that we had, that at the end of it, Ingrid and Randy were both agreeing that it would be better not to just allocate spaces to each team, but to for them to look at what they get and make groupings or make associations or adjacencies as they see fit. Mm-hmm. And I like that idea.
Good.
Yeah.
Me too.
So does anyone feel sort of confident and confirmed enough about what we've talked about in terms of a plan to sort of summarize it in a follow-up, like an email that gives us some direction and maybe some dates or timeline for this?
It was right up until timeline that I was...
Okay, take out, delete timeline.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I could, because I'm still sort of lost.
I think I could probably stitch something together.
Okay.
I'll try to get it out today.
Okay, that would be great. And
if you miss anything, it can be adjusted.
Okay. And if you can include what we talked about in terms of writing, like the forward or afterward or backward, mm-hmm. or sideways writing.
Middle word. Yeah.
Middle word. Yeah, that would be good. I feel like we have lots of material, lots to work with. I like the idea of separating the scores from diagrams. Mm-hmm. And did we determine like what would be exhibited in the space, scores or diagrams, and what would be printed? Or do we want to leave that open still?
We didn't determine. I think hypothetically we talked about a diagram on the wall and the scores in the folio.
Yeah.
That seems to be what I would lean towards, but not out of any type of articulated preference, just the way that it feels like it's more appropriate to have that, the score responses. I think you can do more in a folio than you can in a vinyl print on a wall.
Yeah,
I agree. That might be a reason for doing the more complex writing and scores in the folio.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think also, if, you know, at some point in the future, the scores were be, if it were all to be distributed beyond, you know, the gallery, then that would be the logical avenue.
And perhaps, I mean, I'll put this in the kind of summary, but thinking about another round of scores that we might not necessarily complete, but leave open-ended, you know, like for, like, another project for generative abstraction, right? That might be the thing.
That's a great idea.
Which takes some of the burden off us, but also makes it a prospective project rather than summative, right?
Yeah. So would we each do that, or would we do, so we would each do that, but not respond to them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, right?
Yeah, I like that idea.
And we can maybe we want to say 3 weeks for another score and the writing.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
What's 3 weeks?
Don't hesitate to send me just simple marching orders. Do this by then.
That'd be the 28th, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's my birthday. So
hey.
My birthday's the day before.
27. Are you a fellow Aquarius?
Yes.
I don't know what that, I have no idea what it means, but cool.
Good people. It's good people.
Oh, there we go.
My birthday was yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Which used to be a pretty good day, but now it's probably the worst day of the year. Right, January 6th.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Thank you for giving us something to celebrate.
Yeah.
Recuperate it.
Because otherwise.
Yeah, we made it through.
Yeah. Good.
Okay, everybody done?
I think so.
Yeah.
Thank you. So now we have to actually produce something and put it where it belongs.
Yeah.
And then I guess should we think of touching base around that time for another meeting? And then
yeah, I think so.
By then we should sort of maybe figure out how we're dropping things, who might be compiling,
yeah,
memorizing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also if we are going to have things produced externally, like vinyl cut and or things printed, if we need someone to work on layout files for us, those of you, I guess Jamie and Francisco, you'd be the closest to the ground there. If you come across any names or, you know, get your feelers out for who's doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure Randy and Ingrid have a legion of people that we can.
Yeah. Scotty would know too.
Yeah. And maybe like somebody that I know people who have made folios at Emily Carr. So it's a pretty easy design to follow, I imagine.
Okay.
I could certainly reach out to Randy and Ingrid on behalf of us and CC is just saying, you know, we're not sure what all of this might cost, but if there's some sort of overflow costs from the publication, is there some pocket you might be able to spot it with? And who does your vinyl?
Yeah.
Like I could even do that between now and the 28th.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
But sometimes that takes about most vinyls I've had done take about a week to 10 days, but you never know these days.
Yeah. Supply chain.
the great resignation.
Yeah, it's my new band.
Nice. Well, great, folks.
Yeah, good to see you all.
Yeah, you too.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Let's hope.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Better than last year, hopefully.
Couldn't be worse. Okay, well, there you judged it.
And it probably will be for the next couple of weeks, but they say that it should be, the spike should be over by March.
It's amazing how much hope this has brought me, this catastrophic explosion of cases. I'm like, oh, it's close to the end. What that end is, I guess, is the question that needs to be answered.
The end is when people stop caring about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're there.
Well, yeah. Right there. Yeah. Okay. Well, take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, take care, everyone.
See you again. Don't forget to tell me what to do.
We'll work on it.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, folks.